podcast. Business news, views, and insights from across the globe.
Welcome, everyone, to Hidden Growth Champions. In our series and in conversation today, we have Paula Doyle, who is the Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Cognite. It's an amazing organization that I was fortunate to meet early this year. And in several conversations, I had to ask Paula to come into our studio and talk to us about the wonderful things they're doing. Paula, welcome, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks very much, Sarah, and thanks for the invitation to be here. So, yeah, my name is Paula Doyle. I'm Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Cognite. I've been at Cognite now for 3 years, but before Cognite, I worked in both ABB and Siemens. So I've always worked kind of in the industrial space, and I'm very kind of passionate about what we can do to improve the current reality of industry. So I've worked in a number of roles: product management, research and development, sales, business development. And I also have a PhD in industrial systems. So yeah, I think I've dedicated quite a bit of my life to industry.
Indeed. Paula, I mean, when I met your colleagues for the first time, we were, in fact, in the other part of the world, we were in Southeast Asia at a big energy sector conference called Future Energy Asia. And one of the things that really caught me when we met for the first time was the kind of clarity, almost this purpose-driven mission that Cognite is on. So perhaps you could tell us a little bit about the idea behind Cognite. How did it start, and what made you and the team passionate about what you do?
That's a great question. So Cognite, we are a global software as a service company, and our mission is to really transform industry from the state that it is in today, where, you know, we have a lot of fractured data and we make decisions based on kind of limited data and gut feeling. And we know that the industry needs to transform. And what our aim is to provide the technology that allows industry to become truly data driven. And if you go back to the foundation of Cognite, I mean, we were founded with that one goal. And what happened was that we were working with an oil and gas company here in Norway, Aker BP, and investigating how they could become data-driven. So our CEO, Jan Marcus, he worked with them. And he literally like went around the world with their exec team, kind of opening up the bonnets of the various platform providers and solution providers, looking under the hood, checking what was really there. And the conclusion that they reached was that there was no technology on the market that was really delivering what was needed to truly transform the industry. And that was the birth of Cognite. And what's very interesting for me is that Jan Marcus, his background is not in the industry. So what he actually realized the state of the industry, he was really surprised. And I tend to agree with him, because if you look at industry today, I'm really meaning in terms of like data-driven potential and availability of data, it is so different to what we experience today as consumers or in our personal lives. And I think this discrepancy and this gap is what we are aiming to close.
Now, it sounds that you found a very interesting space in which you're solving a problem. And in fact, when we met for the first time with some of your colleagues, the thing that struck me is we were speaking about the way in which organizations become acquisitive, the way in which organizations are kind of peering above what their industry confines look like. And immediately after, your colleagues went on the stage and spoke about the value of data in many of these challenges. So it was a very kind of fortuitous meeting when it happened. But just to go back to your comments, I mean, seeing that you are helping clients solve meaningful problems, and you came to the realization that nothing like this solution, it readily exists. Take us a little bit under the hood. Help us to understand, what are some of these challenges that clients bring to you for which data could become an important enabler or part of a solution?
So I think if we start kind of with where the industry can be, So where we want to move to is a place where the industry is operating as efficiently as possible, where you are using the data that you have to gain insights and to take decisions, where you're removing waste from your supply chain, from your processes, and you're really kind of operating at your best. But if you look at the reality today, the challenge that we have is that data is locked in systems. So your sensor data would be in one system, your maintenance data in another system, your documents in another system, 3D models in another system, and it's on and on and on. And the level of fractured and siloed data in industry makes it really difficult for people to gain insights, because typically to get to get good operational insights, you need data from more than just one source. For example, if you want to optimize kind of like your maintenance planning, you need to know, okay, what tasks are scheduled? What are the risks? What are the current operational deviations? How many people do I have accessible? What is the number of people that can be on board? Many, many different data sets you need to actually really do the best optimization that you can. And that's really the challenge in industry today, is that there is a lot of data. So we typically find that our customers, they have the data that they need. I mean, occasionally they need to add an extra sensor, upgrade an interface, or pull a cable. But most part, the data is there. The challenge is that's just not usable for analytics. And this is really the problem that we are solving. So we are developing the technology that takes this fractured data and combines it in such a way that it's able to be used to gain the insights and to gain the analytics and to take the decisions that needs to happen to get data driven. And this is this is a difficult nut to crack. So we have hired the best software engineers that we can get our hands on. So people who've worked at Google and Facebook and Apple, recruited them to Norway and to Austin and to Tokyo to work on this problem. And what we're really doing is we're automating this this data liberation and contextualization, as we call it, so that analytics can be done quicker and can be done at scale. And I was just going to say just and then there's so many elements to that, because if you think about making a decision based on data, you have to have so much trust in the data, the quality. Where did it come from? Is it fresh? Am I sure nobody has tampered with it, etc.? So there's a lot of kind of features and functionalities in the background to take you to that point where you can really make an operational decision in an offshore control room, for example.
Yes. Paula, if I think of, perhaps let's take one aspect of what you've spoken about and see if we can make it real for our audience. So I'm going to pick one word, which is speed, the ability of clients to make decisions in real time that improve the speed of their operations, the speed at which they can implement new solutions, the speed at which they can implement and enact a new strategy. Help us to understand or to take us into your world when we think about this analytics capability. How has it helped organizations improve their speed? Just as one aspect, just as one potential benefit of having this capability.
Well, I think we have so many examples of how organizations have been able to move and act faster. But I can give one that's very kind of concrete and understandable, which is related to field workers. So if you imagine somebody going out to do a job in a factory, they have to gather quite an array of data before they can do that job. First of all, they need to understand kind of what is the job that needs to be done? Who has done the last job on this equipment? Is there any kind of deviations I need to know about that equipment? Where are the documents for it? How do I know what's upstream and downstream? Where is it located in the factory? And maybe they need some equipment around the manufacturer, etc. So typically when they do that job, they need to log into these various systems to pull out this data. Some of the systems they have logins to, other ones they maybe need to call somebody to have a look at what the latest data is, get a download, they print out the documents, they pull them together. They go out into the field. They realize that equipment wasn't where they thought it was. They have the wrong document. It's not updated. They want to know if the equipment, what's the current pressure or temperature. They need to radio into the control room. It's so much inefficiencies. But what we have done with our technology by combining this data together and making it available for them on a mobile device is we're able to cut the time that they spent kind of preparing and executing and finding equipment by 80%. So it's significant savings. And it's, you know, it's this is the kind of data availability that we've become very used to in the consumer world that we just don't have today in industry. Another case that we have was related to well optimization. So here we had a client that struggled with some incidents that would cause their wells to shut down. And of course, once wells shut down, you're not producing. So what we were able to do with the data available to us in Cognite Data Fusion, which is our core product, we were able to create the solution for one well in 6 weeks and then roll it out to the next 30 wells in a few days. So this is a little bit about the speed and scale. And we're solving for speed and scale because I don't think that we really have time to waste to become data-driven in industry because the savings are so significant. We just need to kind of get going with it. No time to lose.
Yeah, indeed. One of the aspects we spoke about in the previous conversation was about the impact, not that climate change broadly would have on society and certainly on the industrial sector, but specifically the energy transition that's taking place. What have you seen in your discussions with clients, with industrial clients, as to how the energy transition, whichever side of the fence they might sit on, what are the kind of things that they raise as problems to solve, as impacts that could be on their business, for which data becomes relevant?
I think this is so interesting and also so relevant today. What I have sensed in the conversations that I've had with kind of industry leaders, and this is across verticals, so from manufacturing, from power and utilities, from oil and gas and other energy producers, what I see is that COVID has really put sustainability higher on the agenda. And I'm not sure if it is just the kind of the human impact of this kind of global catastrophe and people are having a little bit more time to think and ponder about kind of their role, or we're looking for optimism and positivity. But sustainability is, and not just talking about sustainability, but how can we act on sustainability? It's a really high topic, which I love, because to be quite honest, there is so much that we can do to deliver on a more sustainable industry with data. What I really think is very important and relevant is the linking of sustainability to like operational efficiency and profitability, because what I see is that we have a lot of cases that we have worked on with customers where we have this kind of dual benefit, both environmental or the sustainability side, but also it's better business. And I really think that we need to crack this nut for industry, because what we want is an industry that's more efficient and more sustainable. And it is possible to have both of those, not either or. I can give some examples. You know, we're working with a large oil and gas company that, as many oil and gas companies do, they use some chemicals and part of their process. For this oil and gas company, we were able to surface the data and get the insights that allowed them to reduce this chemical consumption by 40%. So that has like a tremendous environmental impact, but also a financial impact. Mm-hmm. And what we can do is we did this on one plant, and now we are in the scale out phase where we will take it to another 10 plants. And we have so many cases like this. And I think that this is really exciting. And I feel like that the time to act on sustainability is here, and it's a higher priority than it's ever been before. And I feel like that with the technology that we have and our ability to enable these companies to really make data-driven decisions and link sustainability to profitability, I feel like we are on a fantastic track. And this is something that I believe is going to continue to accelerate in 2021.
Certainly from our side, just looking at the drivers that are accelerating, data certainly come up in a number of industries as a big accelerator. So very much to what you were saying. I guess the one area that this leads us into is the extended enterprise. What lies beyond the organization? So there are ways and means by which data can help to optimize the current business, the current operation, the current wells, the current plants, the current wind farms, et cetera, et cetera. And then as we start to step beyond the immediate organization, we delve into the world of partnerships, we delve into the world of broader supply chains, we delve into the world where other stakeholders become active economic participants for your strategy to really work, for the strategy to really take shape and be able to accelerate to where you want it to ultimately be realized. And I find that certainly from a strategy perspective, that's a mindset shift for many organizations. We don't tend to think of the extended enterprise in those terms. It's almost like this dark thing that is beyond our borders, that is beyond our firewall, that is beyond our strategic landscape. Unless something significant happens out there, that often from and very often from a risk perspective, we don't understand that as well as we understand our own business. And there's a fence, you know, that we can visibly see that we don't step beyond. So when you think about your work with data, I guess my question is, how far does it go? Where in the broader or the extended supply chain in which the organization operates, does that become meaningful? As meaningful perhaps as the data inside the business for its own aims?
So I am really excited about where the supply chain is going, because the industrial supply chain, it's complex, it's inefficient, and it could be dramatically improved by data. And what we see today, we're actually working with some companies who are really transforming the way they work with their suppliers and using data to do that. And an example I can give of this is it's an oil and gas company that is working with a pump supplier. And what this, how it was previously was this pump supplier, and these pumps are, they are complex, large systems. So they deliver the pump to the oil and gas company, and then they say, okay, every 6 months we will come and we will change the oil. Every 3 years we will overhaul the pump, so we'll pull it up and we'll change it. And they have like a maintenance schedule that's based on the calendar. And every time they need to do this maintenance, they need to fly somebody or some bodies offshore with spare parts, with equipment, and then they do the work and then they come back. So what you get there is it's an extremely inefficient way of working, because you're doing maintenance not even knowing if it's needed or not. It's just because that is the best practice. So what this company has done is, instead of keeping this regime, they have moved to a performance contract. So to enable this, they are now streaming in real time all the data associated with these pumps. And this is a lot of data. So it's data, obviously, from the sensors on the pump, but it's also data from the electrical systems, control room logs, kind of like an understanding of what's happening upstream and downstream of the pumps. And they stream this data to the pump supplier, who then is able to use this data and does analytics on the data to determine when maintenance is really needed. And to this effect, they've been able to significantly reduce the number of trips they've needed to make offshore, the number of maintenance actions that they've been able, that they've needed to do, the amount of spare parts that have been needed. And even last year, they were able to postpone an overhaul out in time. And what this basically means is that now you have the supplier accountable for the performance of their pump, and you have the operator or the oil and gas company basically paying for pump uptime and not paying for maintenance that's not needed, not paying for hours of work and offshore trips. And I really feel like that this is where we are going in terms of supply chain. So the old fashioned models that were the suppliers were basically not incentivized along with the operators, that just has to change. And it is changing. And I've heard in a number of cases of this, and this is also a trend that I believe is accelerating with COVID. Another case I heard recently was another supplier into industry who talked about one of his customers now judging suppliers based on TOTEX, which is like the total expenditure. So how it has been previously is when you're doing a capital project, you look at the cost of the equipment. So you look at the capital cost. And then the operating cost of that equipment is somebody else's budget and somebody else's problem. So now what they're doing is they're looking at the combined life cycle cost of the equipment, which means that suppliers who are more energy efficient and have kind of better operational efficiency are rated higher than those who don't. And I think this is like a fundamental and important change for the industry. Oh, there's so much we can do in supply chain, but we need data to be able to do it. So if we want to move people into situations where it's pump as a service or it's flow as a service, we really need to be able to stream them high quality contextualized data.
Yes, indeed. And I guess what you're alluding to as well in this is the monetization of data.
Yes.
So in the old world, we could talk about, and I remember conversations we would have with clients 3, 4, 5, sometimes as little as 2 years ago when we spoke about the value of data, very often the argument comes, well, it could be sold, right? Or it could be licensed, or it could be provided to others. But in fact, that's a very low form of monetization. Mm-hmm. It's almost we take it out of the context and we try to put an artificial value on it. Over time, it morphed into, well, what would a particular customer, what would a particular partner value this data as? But you're talking about something quite different, which is the broader value of data in solving real business problems. So if I had to kind of ask you, take us kind of 5 years into the future, and given the factors that are accelerating before us, what would be kind of an ideal state if you had to walk into an industrial company 5 years from now who have undertaken this journey? What would they look like? What would you look for that will tell you that they have transformed?
Oh, that's such a great question. I just want to come back to your previous point, though, around data. The most important thing about doing this work with data is that it gets put back into the real world to kind of to generate value, to create efficiencies. I mean, the whole purpose of it is not data for data's sake or technology for technology's sake. It's all about value. And this is, I think this is something that has been, I feel like it's rising more and more to the forefront now, but I think when you look at industry, and you know, industry obviously like full of engineers and scientists, love technology, love innovation, love trying new things. We really need to move to the point where we are really looking at outcomes first and technology second. And I think this is the case that we see with this pump supplier and this oil and gas operator, where they're very focused on the business outcomes rather than technology for technology's sake. Now you asked what a company would look like in 5 years' time. You know, and I think that's such a great question, because what I have seen in my 3 years working at Cognite is that the rate of acceleration in the industry, it's just increasing. And when I look at where we are now to where we were 18 months ago and 3 years ago, I think it's quite amazing to see how much we have changed. And also when I look at the impact on COVID on industrial companies' kind of ability to get on with digital, it's been incredibly transformative. But if I imagine the industrial company of the future, I really believe that they need to be data driven. So they need to be using the data that they have to make the optimal decisions. And that means many data science models. It means many machines making decisions, humans making decisions. It means taking human expertise and having that in software so that you're able to always act like your best operator would act or your best maintenance engineer would act. But for me, it really means companies that are kind of using what they have today, but putting that into their process and into their ways of working and ultimately driving the outcomes that we know are there, which is the tremendous value that you can get in optimized production, reduced maintenance, digitalizing your workforce and sustainability. And I'm really excited about this for the industry, because I feel like we have all the ingredients to make it happen. And we are already making it happen. So with the clients we work with around the world, I mean, they are well on their journey to this.
You know, Paula, you're referring to something that in our work we call a point of inflection. Yeah. Where the conditions that have sustained the current business model, the current ways of operating, are no longer serving us, and the kind of conditions that are emerging, they've been there before. Data was there. Yes. A lot of the technologies were there before. I was speaking to someone, in fact, a business partner of ours, just before our conversation now, and the way he kind of phrased his work, he said, you know, I was working on the internet before it was the internet. And a lot of the things that we think are new actually have been there in other forms, of more difficult, more manual, harder to access, but a lot of the things were there. But I guess what you're kind of bringing to life for us is that point of infliction where the current model doesn't serve, in this case, industrial customers anymore, and there's an opportunity to shift and to accelerate this, and therefore 5 years from now it could look quite different to what it is today.
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, like, there's a lot of talk about Industry 4.0 and the fourth industrial revolution. And when you look at the previous revolutions, there was always this step of automation that was brought in. You know, there was like the steam engines, I mean, at the start. And if you look at the latest one, the with the PLCs and electronics, and really it's about automating some part of the industrial world. For me, what the fourth industrial revolution is specifically about, it's about automating making data available for data-driven operations. And that's really the key. Because if you have to do this manually and clunkily, and it's not kept up to date, and it's not real-time, and it's not guaranteed, then you can't use it. So we need the technology that automates that. And that's what makes me really excited, because we're there. And I think that this is really the key to the next level of industry.
Yeah, indeed. Paula, as a purpose-driven organization, I have to ask this question. It's never in a straight line, and none of the people out of the many purpose-driven organizations that have been on our podcast has claimed that they have found the straight line. It often comes with great success stories and some really bad days. So perhaps share with us a little bit about some of the greatest days, some of the days when you went back home and said, you know, we're doing something meaningful. Share with us a little bit about those.
I really like that question. And I think it's also, you know, it is true. Like in a young company, kind of with the growth that we've had, it's definitely not A to Z. But the journey is really important. And all the mistakes that we make along the way really kind of inform our decisions going forward. So I think those mistakes have been, yeah, they're tough, but we're very focused on putting them to good use. I think for me, one of the greatest, I think I've got two types of greatest days, or there's two greatest days. So I think one for me was, it was one of the first cases that we had, where we realized that we had really cracked this scalability challenge. So like I discussed this case with the Wells, because the problem that has always been there in the past has been that it takes as long to do, if you do the first one, it takes almost as long to do the second one and almost as long to do the third and the fourth. And that makes the ROI really challenging when it comes to kind of digital solutions. So cracking that for me was a real success, because it meant that now we are really able to scale it. So that means that the effort and the time and the money spent developing the first solution is just kind of fully reusable for the next solutions. And that's been a hard nut to crack. Mm. And what that does is it just opens up such a wealth of opportunity for the industry. So I remember the day that I heard that, and I was so amazed that we were able to roll it out in such a quick period of time. And when I think about like the 5-year future, I really feel like that is such an important step along that journey. So that was very exciting. And then I think there's been so many more successes of like the various people in the org working with customers, having a breakthrough, seeing the technology being adopted. There's one case where that I thought was really fantastic, where it was an electrician on an offshore oil rig who got access to our software development kit, had no background in programming, and basically wrote his own application to make his job different. And that was really inspiring for me, because this is also the type of activity I expect to see in 5 years' time. So there's been so many great days. And then I think just a very quite recent one for me was, it was the first new customer we brought in after the COVID lockdown, because it's also tied to my worst day as well. It was, you know, that day when the airports shut down, we were all sent home from the office. I mean, it just felt like the world was shutting down. And I really worried for what was going to happen to us, what was going to happen, I mean, yeah, to the world generally, and to the economy and to people and everything. It was a really terrible day. But about a week after that day, we signed a new customer. And I just remember that day just feeling like, okay, you know, we're still here. We're still transforming. We're not giving up. The industry is there. We're moving on, you know. And I think that feeling was just, that was really fantastic for me.
Yeah, I can just imagine. Paula, any further lessons? I mean, you've shared so much with us. There's so many insights. I'm sure for those listening, the kind of light bulbs are coming up, and they can connect with the kind of issues that they're kind of tackling in their own business. I can even say for myself, and coming out of a manufacturing background many years back, and knowing industry, it certainly helped to connect a few dots. Any particular lessons that we haven't covered? Anything you want to share with our audience as they go through the process of relooking, challenging, and in some cases transforming their own organizations? What would you want to leave with them as a lesson, a thought, an insight that will be helpful?
Oh wow, there's so much. it's quite a big topic, but I think my major lesson is that, you know, we don't need to be paralyzed by indecision. And what I see is a lot of organizations that, you know, they kind of sit there internally, they're trying to figure out where to go, what to do. They're doing a lot themselves. And what that does is it slows them down. And I think now more than ever, and I said this a year ago, but I really feel like given what's happened the last 9 months, etc., now more than ever, this is not the time for inaction. So everybody needs to get on kind of this train and see how they transform their business, how they move from today to data driven. I mean, there's literally no time to lose. So what I would say as advice, and this is a bit about like how we at Cognite think and work, is have your vision, like know where you're going, but also just take the first small step. Just get started, you know, pick some high value, low hanging fruits and solve them. Work with somebody who has done it before so that you can learn, like explore partnerships, understand what your uniquenesses as the industrial company and what others' uniquenesses and how you can put that together to really accelerate your transformation. For me, it's all about just getting out there and doing it. And And I think being specific is very helpful as well, because I mean, for us, we're all about moving industry to data-driven operations. So it's all about the data, but it's all about putting that data to use. So it's not just data for data's sake, but it's that whole round trip of data collection, contextualization and analytics, and then boom, back into the real world where you're actually taking action and making decisions on it. And this is what I think is really important for companies to get right. It's focus on the value, get to value quick, and then your journey is pretty much paved for you.
Such a wonderful thought to end our conversation on. Paula, this was a fantastic conversation. I'm really glad we made time for this. I know it's been super valuable for many of our audience members, and can't wait to share this with them. Thank you again, and really well done on the kind of purpose-driven, insightful, focused, and to your last point, very actionable route that you've decided to take. This was wonderful.
Thank you for having me, Sarah. It's been a pleasure.
All right, fantastic. For those listening, this was the 10th episode in our podcast series. There's a bit of a celebration in the making. You'll see some more of that on social media. And as we move on to exploring very interesting new technology-driven organizations, our next conversation as well will be very much in that line. Follow the podcast. And more news will be coming up in the next few days. Thanks again, Paula, and have a good weekend.
Hidden Growth Champions, the podcast. Join us next time for more business news, views, and insights from across the globe.